Proverbs chapter 14. Now, we're going verse by verse through the book of Proverbs, and as we look at this, we see that we have 35 verses here in Proverbs chapter 14. So, I'm not going to have time to read the verse and then explain the verse, because that'd give us about 1 minute per verse, and some verses will take a little longer than that. So, what I'm going to ask is, if you'll show the verse up on the screen, starting with verse 1, there we are. And so, I'm going to ask that you just read it. You have your Bibles with you, you can read that. But what I'm going to be doing is explaining. I've read through several commentaries on chapter 14. And so I've gone through in any verse that I thought, whoa, I wonder what that means. I've thoroughly examined. And then, rather than give you the whole page that I read about one verse, I'm going to paraphrase what it means. And so hopefully you'll get the gist of it in just a little bit, but be able to understand it. And then a few of the verses, of course, I'll be able to give a little bit more insight in as well. For instance, verse 1. A wise women construct their home. Foolish women critique their home. Critique their home. Now, wait a minute. When you're critiquing your home, you're tearing it down yourself. When you critique your home, you're tearing it down. If you're critiquing your husband, well, why don't you put your shoes over there? Why do you put your socks over here? Why do you do your dirty dish over there? Why'd you? Now, ladies, nobody told me on you, so I'm not picking anybody out. But I'm just saying, don't critique your husband. Now, if you thought he was perfect when you married him, you had blinders on. You had blinders on. But after you marry him, he did not become more perfect. If anything, he let his guard down a little bit, because he didn't have to win you, because he got you, right? And so now, don't critique your husband. You're not going to train him. I'm sorry, you're not going to train him. You better just learn to smile and get along with him, because he's just a man that needs a lot of help. And by the way, if he had his act all together, he wouldn't need you, right? But he needs you. Okay, so don't critique your husband, but don't critique your children. Oh, when our kids were growing up, I was good at that. Well, you're supposed to do it this way. No, you didn't do it right. You got to do it that right. And one day, Miss Vicky said, "Honey, as much as you correct our kids, you need to praise them more. Praise them more." See, I always thought the father's job was to correct everything wrong. I thought that was it. But what I found is, when I used her method and I praised them, I found that people will always rise to the level of their praise. They'll always rise to the level of their praise. You praise them for doing a fair job, and next time they'll do a better job. They'll just keep doing better and better, because, you know, kids are like everybody else. They like to hear praise too, right? And so, a wise woman constructs her home, but a foolish woman critiques her home. Number 2, walk right equals loving God. If you walk right, you try to live right, that is the same as loving God. If you walk wickedly, that is the same as despising God. Despising God. Now, you may think, well, I choose to do wrong sometimes, but I don't mean this against God. I know you don't, but He does. That's how He takes it. Because that's what He put in His Word, right? So that's exactly how He takes it. When we choose to do wrong, knowing that He loves us, and He saved us, and He forgives us, and He covers us with His grace, and then we still choose to do wrong, God's Word says that's like despising God. Now, we don't want to do that. Amen? That's a little weak. We don't want to do that. Amen? Oh, that's right. That's right. We don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. And God, you see, can't pull the wool over His eyes. So every little bit of disobedience is a big thing to a holy God. Now, praise God, we're covered by grace, but shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6:1 says, God forbid. Number three, words of a fool beat themselves. Wise words spare yourself. See, when you have a foolish person says foolish words, who is he really hurting? Himself. He's really hurting himself. Now, he may intend to hurt everyone around him, but the truth is the person he really hurts is himself. But a man who speaks wisdom, his intention is to help everyone around him. But guess who he's really helping? He's helping himself because God honors wise words. That's verse 3. Verse 4. Empty cribs stay clean. Cribs full of animals means you deal with the mess. Right. You never had to shovel out a stall where no animal was. It just sort of stays clean. But if you ever want a horse, you're going to have to learn to use the shovel. Well, I enjoy riding, I enjoy a horse, I enjoy this, I enjoy that. Well, you better also learn how to enjoy shoveling, because you're going to have it. Now, there's some churches that are very pristine, and they never have any stains, and they never have anything out of place, and everything looks really nice, but they don't have much children. And if you want a church full of children, you want a church full of teenagers, you're going to have to live with a mess. You're going to have to learn how to use a vacuum cleaner. You're going to have to learn how to pick up. Now, you mothers who have young children at home, you just say goodbye to a house that everything looks just right. You just say goodbye to that. And don't you ever, ever offer an excuse if someone comes to visit. Oh, I'm so sorry. The children were just, hey, listen, you have children, you be proud of them. If they make a mess, that just comes with having children. Amen? Amen. We've all been there. We've all done that. And so don't you make excuses. Don't act like your home has to be pristine and everything in place. You've got kids running around. That's the joy. Having everything just right never brought joy, but having young children around, that brings a whole lot of joy. So blessings come with burdens, and the one is worth the other. That's still an understanding of verse 4. So blessings come with burdens, but the one is worth the other. You want to teach Sunday school? Oh, there's great blessings, but there will also be some things to break your heart. You want to have a bus route? That's going to be a great blessing. But you're also going to have some times it just breaks your heart. Oh, they told me they would come. Or you can take them home and they just told you they're moving away. Oh, it breaks your heart. But the blessings will outweigh the burdens. Amen. Verse 5. A true man speaks truth. A lying man speaks lies. Now, isn't that profound? a truthful man speaks the truth. Now, how many times do you have to tell the truth to be a truthful man? And how many times do you have to lie to be a man who lies? You lie once, and you've lied. If you want to be a truthful man, you just got to tell the truth. Whether it makes you look good or whether it makes you look bad, you got to stand for what's right. I like what Job says, I will not give up my integrity. If it kills me, I'm not giving up my integrity. Now, he wasn't saying he was sinless. He just said, I'm going to do things right. I'm going to do things right. And so that's so important. We need to keep our word. Amen? Our word is our bound. Well, I didn't sign a contract. But you gave your word. That's a contract. for a Christian, it's a contract. You gave your word. And that's what you have to keep, your word. And number six, a scorner seeks the fruit of wisdom without listening, but one who listens to understanding, wisdom comes easy. Now see, a scorner wants to be wise, he just doesn't want to listen. He wants to be wise, he just doesn't want to be instructed. He doesn't want to be corrected. He doesn't want to listen. But he wants the fruit of wisdom. See, he wants to wind up like the person who listens. He wants to make good grades like the person who does their homework. He wants to succeed like the person who listens to the teacher. But he doesn't do any of that. He just wants the fruit of wisdom. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? You don't listen to wisdom, you don't get the fruit of it. So, we want to be a wise person and listen. But if you listen, understanding wisdom comes easy. Now, for those students of you, here's one thing I learned in school. If I would sit as close as I could, if they didn't choose the alphabet, I'm an M, but I always try to sit on the front row toward the center aisle. And by the way, when I go to preaching, I always sit on the front row, unless Miss Vicky's with me, then I sit on the second row. She doesn't like the front row, so I sat on the second. And I always do. I was telling someone in Somerville at a preacher's conference, I said, I just don't understand preachers who come to a conference, sit on the back row, and wonder why their people do. They get so upset, there are people sitting on the back row, and yet they go to the conference, that's where they sit. Like begets like. Like begets like. Now, the front rows are pretty empty, but they were full of teenagers. Amen. They were here. But you have to do what you want. You have to role model what you want. And so I always do that. If I have a sermon, if I'm in a sermon, I always go to the altar. Always do. I don't care who preaches. Altar call, I'm going to the altar. Well, what are they thinking? I don't care what they think. I just care what God thinks. And by the way, I don't think I'm so good, I can't go to the altar. And if I'm your pastor and I don't feel so good that I can't humble myself before God and go to an old-fashioned altar and kneel down in front of God and everybody, have a prayer, and I'm usually one of the last ones to leave, I think every once in a while it's a good thing for you to go to. It's a good thing. You know, years ago there was this old commercial about changing your oil, and the mechanic would say, you can pay me now. You can buy this Quaker State or buy this Penn's oil right now. You can pay me now, or I'll overhaul your engine and you can pay me later. It's a lot cheaper to pay them now. Just buy the oil. Don't pay for the major overhaul. So I just keep short accounts with God. God speaks to my heart, I go. A scorner seeks the fruit of wisdom without listening, but one who listens to understand wisdom comes easy. Verse 7. When you realize someone is foolish, walk away gracefully.
Amen.
Walk away gracefully. You don't have to say, well, I never. Well, you probably have, but don't even say that. I never. No, just say, well, it's been good talking. I got to go. When someone is talking foolishness, just walk away gracefully. I mean, you don't have to say, well, I don't agree with that, and then storm off. Just God bless you. Oh, man, look what time it is. I got to be gone. And just get out of there. Don't listen to foolish stuff. Don't listen to foolish stuff. Always be careful who you ask for wisdom to. But you want to get wisdom, and so ask accordingly. Number eight, a prudent man thinks before he acts, but foolish make up as they go along. when I was younger, there was the expression, he's going by the seat of his pants. What's that? What's the full expression?
Flying.
Yeah. How do you fly? I don't know how you fly by the seat of your pants, but anyway, he's flying by the seat of his pants. In other words, he's making it up as he goes along. But a prudent man likes to figure it out before he takes the first step.
Amen.
You see, a wise man sees the end of a thing at the beginning. So he thinks about, where's this path going to lead? What are these actions going to produce? If I go this way, what is it going to do? By the way, we're living a day where we're having a generation start seeing the fruit of their actions. I was talking to someone just the other day, and we were just talking about contemporary issues and stuff. And I said, you know, I know there's churches that are more with it and more contemporary and more progressive and different things like that. But it's interesting now that the people who started those things are coming up with some doctrine that's awfully strange. You know, some of the founders of a lot of the contemporary music have later let us know they don't even believe in Jesus. Well, wait a minute. You mean after you've sold millions of dollars of Christian music, you tell us that? Yeah, I'm not even a believer. I'm not even sure there's a God. And they're big stars in contemporary music. One of the biggest there is out of Australia now believes it's okay to be gay. Well, I don't think we ought to stone gays either. But I think we ought to speak where God speaks. I think we ought to stand where God stands. I think we can disagree with a drunk and still say that's wrong. I think we can be kind and say that's wrong. That's not right. I think we can look at someone who's a thief and be kind to them. You know, when they're behind bars, but be kind to them, but stand for right, but not have to say, it's okay to steal. He was just trying to feed his family. It's okay. He didn't have a good job. He had to. We don't have to excuse sin. And what happens is you get these spiritual leaders, after they get such a big following, then they reveal the fact that they're rethinking right and wrong. They're rethinking one man and one woman. They're rethinking a man and woman's lifestyle. They're rethinking. Well, if you're fixed on the Word of God, you don't have to rethink things. You just stick with the book. Stick with the Word of God. So a prudent man thinks before he acts, but a foolish man makes up as he goes along. Deceit is a word that's used there, and that means false representations or underhanded practices or defrauding or injuring others. When a person is deceitful, they're trying to go around the truth. They're going around the truth. And you might say, well, I didn't tell them a lie. I know, but you didn't tell them the whole truth. Remember the old thing that used to be when you'd take on stand, or at least you saw it on TV, you promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Yeah. Well, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Number 9. Fools make light of sin, but one who loves righteousness has favor. Has favor from the Lord. Don't make light of sin. Number 10. Only the individual knows his own heartaches, but no one but you can quench your joy. So in other words, you may have a smile on your face tonight, but you can have deep heartache. And nobody know it but you. Nobody know it but you. But here's the flip side of that. You can have joy inside of you and nobody else can quench it.
Amen.
You got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the joy that I give you, Jesus says, no man taketh from you. Amen. No man taketh from you. Praise God for that joy. Hey, I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm good. The doctor said I have cancer. I know, but I'm still good because I'm saved. I'm going to heaven one day. He just told me it may be sooner than I think, but I don't know. That's only God knows those things. Number 11. The ungodly house is overthrown, but a godly home flourishes all in it. So you have ungodliness in your house, it's going to wreck it. It's going to tear it up. Now, husbands, wives, we're the leaders of the home. So we got to make sure we're charting the right course. Amen? We've got to chart the right course. Little eyes are watching. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, little eyes are watching. We've got to chart a right course. I remember when our first child was born and I held Adrian in my arms for the very first time, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I am responsible before God for this person. And in much degree, how me and Miss Vicky live, that's how she's going to turn out. Now, I know they have a free moral agent, but they're probably going to follow the example they've been given. So it's good for us that we set a right pattern and stick with it all our lives. Verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right, but because that way comes from man and not from God, its way ends in death and destruction. So the whole purpose of that verse is simply this. Go God's way. That's what he's trying to tell us. Go God's way. There is a way. Well, I just think, well, you better think what God thinks, not what you think. Man, I can't trust my thinking. I gotta take God's thinking. I tell our staff all this time, we can't speak our mind, we have to speak His mind. We're His representatives. We've got to speak His mind. Well, I just gave her a piece of my mind. Oh, don't do that. First of all, we don't have enough to give away pieces of our mind, so don't do that. But please don't do that. There's no reason under heaven to be unkind to people, even if we are very much opposed to their actions or behavior or something. We should still try to be kind. The Bible says He is kind, and that's the attribute of God. Go God's way. Verse 13, laughter that is a front doesn't take sorrow from the soul. That kind of laughter only makes it worse. So, don't fake it. Go to God and make it. Don't fake it. Go to God and make it. I like that because I used to hear, fake it till you make it. But with God, you don't have to fake it. You can still make it. Because God is the one who makes us. So a lot of times you're going to find this to be true. Sometimes the person who always seems like the life of the party has some sorrow or some hurt in them that they cover up and try to cover up. But when they're all alone, that sorrow still comes back. So take your sorrow to the Lord and leave it there. And get the joy and laughter that comes from walking with the Lord. Verse 14. The fruit of a backslider or a good man will manifest itself in the life of a person. So whether you're a backslider or a good man, your fruit either way is going to manifest itself. It's going to manifest it. Well, how can I tell if I'm backslidden? Well, let me just watch you for a week or two and I'll tell you. It's going to show up. Well, how do I know I'm a good man? Well, let me just watch you for a week or two and I'll know. It's how you treat people. It's what you say. It's how you talk. It's where you go. It's how you behave. It's how you treat others. So either you're going to do things wrong or you're going to do things right, but the fruit of it is going to come from whatever action you do. You do right, you'll have good fruit. You do wrong, you'll have bad fruit. So the fruit will manifest itself. There's a passage in the New Testament and it says, And let me paraphrase it. But it's like this. If you love God, you don't have to tell people.
Right.
If you love God, you don't have to tell people. They'll know it. They'll see it.
Amen.
Because when you love God, people can see that in your life. I was talking to someone just this morning at the Chamber of Commerce meeting. And there's this Christian lady who has a business. And I was talking to her, and her name was Sarah. And I said, Sarah, I said, I just want to thank you for always being a good representation of Jesus Christ at these meetings. She goes, really? And I said, yes. I said, your walk with God just shines all over your face, and that's why you're so sweet. She goes, really? Yeah. But you know, that's true in your life too. That's true in your life. You love the Lord, you'll see it. Like someone used to say, if you're happy, tell your face. And if you're happy, you don't have to tell anyone else because they can see your face. Okay. Now, verse 15. Simple believe everything someone says, but a wise man will evaluate it. The simple believe everything someone says, but a wise man is going to evaluate it. They're going to say, what's the source? Who's telling me that? And let me just say, that's probably one of my weaknesses, is I want to believe every Christian I hear. I want to believe them. I don't always, but I always want to. And sometimes I get disappointed because I find out it wasn't the truth. But I want to believe the best out of every Christian. I just do not want to meet people with a skeptical spirit. I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. So I may be disappointed, but that's okay. I gave them the benefit of the doubt. And I feel like I owe that to everybody. I think as Christians we do. But just be very careful about believing everything, especially if you've seen once or twice it hasn't worked out as someone said, then use a little wisdom there. Verse 16, wisdom fears the end of evil and stays away. A fool is confident that evil will never affect them. Wisdom fears the end of evil and stays away. If you're a young person, the best thing could ever happen to you when you do wrong, is best thing ever happened is you get caught. That's the best thing ever happened. You get caught. Oh, I don't like getting caught. Well, nobody does. But the good thing about getting caught, it teaches you not to do it next time. But the person who gets away with doing wrong thinks they can do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then before you know it, they're in prison somewhere where they're stuck. The best thing ever happened is get caught when you're young. So it's better to get a slap on the wrist than it is to have someone shut the bars behind you. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, you're not going to sow wild oats and get sweet flowers. By the way, I've known Christians that sow wild and then pray for crop failure. But it doesn't happen that way. See, you can choose to do wrong, but what you can't choose is the consequences. You can't choose that. That's not up to you. Okay. Verse 17. A quick temper leads to foolish responses. A man who pushes evil acts is never loved, but his actions are hated. So, don't have a quick temper. Be slow to wrath. Verse 18. The simple live out foolishness in actions and consequences, but a wise man is rewarded for searching a matter out with knowledge. So the simple, they live out foolishness, their actions, their consequences. But that wise man, he's rewarded for searching out a matter. You know, there's an old adage that a carpenter uses, measure twice, cut once. Right? Measure twice. Okay, that's so good. But how many have measured once and cut wrong? Oh, yeah. That is so embarrassing, isn't it? Well, oh, it's short. What happened? You know, I didn't measure twice. Okay. You do that enough, you learn the value of wood, you learn the value of material, and you start measuring twice. Better yet, you measure and you write it down. Measure and write it down. Especially at this age, I don't trust my memory. I'll say, Miss Vicky, and I'll turn around, I'll look around and say, who are you? I'm not quite that bad yet, but I am with visitors. I'll shake their hand and I'll say, well, John, it's so good to have you with us. And then I think I'm going to write down John's name. And then Joe comes up. Well, hello, Joe. Good to see you. And then I said, and then I hate to go and say, hey, what was your name again? Well, I just told you it was Joe. Oh, that's right, Joe. And then Bill comes up and says, hi, Pastor, how you doing? I said, well, that's fine. I'm going to write. Oh. Man, after I get so embarrassed, I come up here, Brother Vessel, I said, go check out that fellow and ask him what his name is. I'm too embarrassed. And he'll come back and says, that's Joe. And I said, I'll write it down right here. Okay. Wait a minute, you'll be old too one day. By the time you are, you'll forget what you laughed about. Verse 19. God has caused the evil to ultimately submit to the good, and the evil man will bow before the righteous. Hey, that's a principle of life. And I know it looks like people break that and get away, but God is not done. The judgment of God comes patiently. The wheels of justice grind slow, but they grind fine and complete. So don't think we got away with it just because God hadn't struck us. He didn't strike me down dead. I know, but He's not through with you. His mercy is extended even to the wicked. But eventually, judgment has its day. Remember that story of Haman and Mordecai?
That's right.
Haman built that gallows 75 feet tall for Mordecai. But guess who swung on it the next day? Don't build your own gallows. I'm building it for somebody else. No, don't build it at all. You might be surprised by who's swinging on it the next day. Might be you. Don't do it. Verse 20. Okay, I have at least 3 minutes. I only have 15 more verses. Okay, that's good. Let's see if we can speed it up a little bit. Verse 20. Poverty is looked down on and wealth is looked up at. Now, I know when you read that, verse 20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. And you think, wait a minute, does that mean that God is just endorsing riches but not poverty? The implication, and this is significant, the implication is not the riches, but the character that brought about each. So that which is hated is the character that brought about poverty. And that which is loved is the character that brought about riches. Most rich men began very poor, but hard work and sacrifice turned their fortune around. So when you think of people liking, you know, wealthy people, let me just say, it's not how much they have in the bank, because most people don't even know what that figure is anyway. It is the fact that they have the character to get where they are. That's what they want. They don't want their riches. They don't need their millions or their billions. But they want the character that got that man where he is, because that same character will get us to be where we could be. And it may never be millions or billions, but it could bring about the best us. And about the poor, we're not despising, no one despises, it's not saying despise the poor because he doesn't have money. It's just saying that people do not want to emulate someone who is poor because they've never applied themselves. They've never kept a job. They never woke up. They never showed up. They were always late. That is what is despised. Not the poor, but the character that produced the poverty. Does everybody understand that? Because I want you to understand, God's not favoring the rich and despising the poor. By the way, let me ask this question. How many of you have ever been poor? Yeah, me and Vicki know what it is to have no food in the pantry. We know what it is to see the floor through the cracks of our... we know what it is to live in a little pitiful apartment. We know all that stuff. But you don't have to stay there. That's where you start, but you don't have to stay there. Okay, verse 21. Looking down on your neighbor is sin, but showing mercy fills the heart with joy. No matter how God ever prospers you, never look down your nose at another individual. Never. Never let it be big I, little you. Let it be we're all just sinners saved by grace, and God's been good to me, and God can be good to you too. Build people up. Verse 22. Promoting evil is the wrong path in life, but good comes to the one who follows the right path of mercy and truth. You promote evil, that's wrong path. You're going to reap the results of going down the wrong path. You're not going to get to the destination that you were wanting. But mercy and truth, that'll get you to the right destination. Verse 23, any labor to better oneself is good. But to just talk about bettering yourself only leads to poverty. So, don't talk, do. Don't talk, just do it. Talking never made one wealthier. But getting out there and doing it and working up a sweat, that'll prosper you. And by the way, any labor is good. If it's legal and somebody's trying to better themselves, don't pour cold water on them. Say, well, he picks up garbage. Well, yeah, but now they're making $25 an hour doing it. So, you know, that's a pretty good job. But it doesn't matter if a person's making minimum wage. They're working, and God bless them. God bless them. They're working. Everybody starts somewhere. I started working at $16.60 an hour. I was thrilled to get the job. How many work cheaper than that? Whoa, that lets you know something, doesn't it? Yeah, that's right. Okay, what's the cheapest? What would you make? A dollar? How many made less than a dollar an hour? Whoa, man. I feel young now, spring chicken. Okay, that's good. How many, anyone make less than 50 cents an hour? Whoa, okay. Okay, Jose?
Very cheap labor.
Okay, but how much was it?
About 2 cents or something
back. A few pesos. Not even a peso. Whoa. Okay, you get the prize. This bottled water is yours after the service. Okay, you get the prize. Okay, well, that is something. But everyone starts that way. The reward of a wise is a degree of wealth. Verse 24, the reward of the wise is a degree of wealth, but fools waste their time in foolishness instead of industry. Industry, applying oneself, that's industry. Being industrious, applying oneself. So the reward of the wise is wealth, but it means a degree of wealth, and not wealth like, I got everything I ever hoped for. No, but it's a degree of success. If you're wise and you work hard, you should reach a comfortable lifestyle. Doesn't mean you have mega bucks in the bank, but you're comfortable. Okay, that's what wisdom does. Verse 25, the truth sets free, a lie brings bondage. You know, when you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said, because it's the same. But when you tell a lie, you always have to try to remember, now what was it I said? Because you made it up, and you probably didn't write it down. So it's so easy to get the story different next time. Just stick with the truth. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Right? Did I say that right? Okay. I'm old. I can't remember. But I think I did. Verse 26. Miss Vicki hates it when I say I'm old. She says, you're not that old. I said, I know, but I just have fun. Verse 26. Trusting in God brings one confidence in God's ability. Those who trust will find refuge from the fears of life. You'll find refuge from the fears of life. Just trust in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will remember the name of the Lord my God. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hey, you don't have to fear when you have the Lord. You don't have to fret when you have the Lord. Do we? Well, yeah, we're just human. But here's how I do it. I fret for a while, and then faith kicks in. I fret for a while. How am I going to do that? How are we going to do this? How's it going to happen? And then I think, God's got this. God's got this. It's going to be okay. God's got this. But don't think I'm so full of faith that I don't fret sometimes. Anybody else like me? Anybody else? Maybe a little. Sometimes about 2 or 3 in the morning I get up and it takes me about 45 minutes for faith to kick in. Then I can go back to bed. Okay, I'm good. Verse 27. To trust the Lord in life is life overflowing, and put off death till the appointed time. I like what it says, depart from the snares of death. Now, here's what it means. It doesn't mean you're not going to die, but it means it puts off death till the appointed time. How many think if you're running down a railroad track without checking the schedule could be a foolish thing?
Right.
To lay on a railroad track and take a nap could be a foolish thing. By the time you wake up, it may be too late. So I think by our foolishness, we can speed up our demise. But I think if we'll be wise, that we can live as long as God has us scheduled. And that's not always till we're 90 or 100. But we can live as long as God has us scheduled. Teach us to number our days. Verse 28. The king following builds his kingdom. The king's following builds his kingdom, but a lack of following weakens the city of the prince. In other words, the king who runs off his inhabitants is foolish. The king who is kind to his followers protects his kingdom.
Amen.
You want to build a better Sunday school class? Smile. Be kind to the kids. Bring them a gift. Let them know how proud you are of them. But if you want to say, shut up, be still, behave yourself, it might get down to just your two. I'm saying if you're kind, you may build your kingdom. The prince who runs them off, remember what Rehoboam did? Rehoboam, Solomon's son, he exploded the kingdom. All the money that Solomon had gathered in 5 years, he wasted all of it. Verse 29, let anger have a long fuse and you'll be wise. A short-fused person is seen and avoided as a fool. If you know someone has a short fuse, you don't want to be around when it's lit. You see it starting to be lit, you're going to find a door. I'm out of here. I've seen that. Been there, done that. I've seen that. I don't want to be around when that fuse goes off. Let anger have a long fuse. Here's what the Bible says. Be ye angry and sin not. So apparently there are some things worth getting angry on. Jesus got angry a little. There are some things worth getting angry about. But if you are like that, you probably misjudged what to be angry at. Have a long fuse. Long fuse. Well, they just pushed all the wrong buttons. Well, just throw your buttons away. Don't let other people push your buttons. You're being controlled by someone else. You be in control of yourself. Verse 30. A good heart makes sweet life. An envious life makes it bitter. A good life, a good heart makes a sweet life. You can be in a very poor apartment, but you can have a sweet life. You can have very little going for you, but you can have a sweet life. All you need is a good heart. But if you're envious of what someone else has, you got a bitter life. Bitter life. You don't want that. Verse 31, to oppose the poor is to act against God. But to honor God is to honor the people He created, made in His likeness, rich and poor. Honor all people. He that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Just honor everyone. He that saith, I love God, and hateth his brother, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Because you cannot love God whom you have not seen, but you hate your brother. You hate your brother whom you've not seen, but you say you love God whom you've not seen, and you curse man who is made in the similitude of God. And the Bible says, out of the same mouth cometh blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen? Amen. Now, you say, well, I learned that cursing before I got saved, before I got right with God, and it's just stuck with me and stuck with me and stuck with me. May I say, it stuck with you too long. Get rid of it. Whatever you have to do, get rid of it. My mother used to have a trick that worked real well. It's called ivory. Ivory soap. Anybody ever else get their mouth washed out? Whoa! Man, we'd get thrown behind bars if we did that today. But that's... Chad, you got your mouth... Whoa! Old-fashioned mom and dad. I like that. Okay. Verse 32, the wicked is left alone by all, but righteous have many round him in death. You know, the poor wicked man, he dies and nobody wants to even come to the funeral unless he has a lot of food. But the righteous people will take off a day of work. And that person had an influence on my life. I want to be there. Verse 33, wisdom is deep in the heart. Foolishness is manifested to all. You don't always know wisdom because wisdom hides itself. The Bible says wisdom is the deep well, and a man of understanding will draw it out. So a man can have wisdom and you don't even know it until you start talking to him and you start drawing it out and you find out they're very wise. But foolishness, you don't have to draw that out. It comes out all of its own. And you'll figure that out real fast. Number 34. Righteousness maketh a nation great again. I like the way I said that. Makes a nation great again. But anyway. Sinfulness bankrupts it morally and financially. Sinfulness bankrupts it morally and financially. A nation will go broke that goes against God. A city will go broke that goes against God. Just look around. Verse 35. The boss rewards wise workers. I know it says king, but we don't have kings. So the idea is boss. The boss rewards wise workers, but is upset with those who waste time with shameful words or deeds. The workplace is not a place to play around. You get hurt, and it costs the company. So don't do shameful things. Don't just play at work. You work at work. And the boss will reward wise workers. Wise workers. Well, that is chapter 14. It's full of a whole bunch of wisdom. I hope I put it in terms that you understand some of that. And I think that'll be a blessing to everyone. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, would you take the truth of your word and would you apply it to our lives? Holy Spirit, no doubt in many of these verses, it caused us to reflect about our life, about our thinking, about our action, about our personality perhaps, about the way we behave. And Holy Spirit, if you have spoken to our lives about some of these issues, I pray that we'll do business with you and ask for your help and blessing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.